Chester Happy Church Devotional Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Cheers each winding path our trip. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living.
All right, in our study of the living bread this morning, we will turn our attention to Isaiah 66, nearing the end. Sums the argument of the prophecy, sums the theme of the prophecy. There's God sitting on his throne. We'll see this in a moment, that he is exercising judgment, which is his right to do. He holds his people accountable for their sin. He will judge them according to their sins, but he is gracious to those who turn to him in faith and repentance. In a lot of ways, this chapter summarizes Isaiah's entire prophecy. In some ways, in many ways, the prophecy itself summarizes the entire message of the Bible. God pursues his people. The creator of the universe created people to live in right relationship with him. They sinned and fell short of that. They didn't uphold his standards. He holds them accountable for their sins. He will judge them according to their sins, but yet he offers grace to them. Through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53, the promised Messiah of Isaiah 61. And we can come to the Lord through faith in the Messiah and repent of our sins and receive the blessings of eternity and the blessings of a restored relationship with him. And so Isaiah 66 is a summary of Isaiah. Isaiah is a summary of the Bible. And so I think it's helpful. Here we go. Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where could you possibly build a house for me, and where could my resting place be? My hand made all these things so that they all came into being. The Lord, this is the Lord's declaration. I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirit, and trembles at my word. One person slaughters an ox, another person kills a person. One person sacrifices a lamb, another breaks a dog's neck. One person offers a grain offering, another offers pig's blood. One person offers incense, another praises an idol. For all these have chosen their own ways and will delight in their abhorrent practices. So I will choose their punishment, and I will bring on them what they dread, because I called and no one answered. I spoke and they did not listen. They did what was evil in my sight and chose what I did not delight in. And so here's God of all creation who starts this little section out, his declaration that says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. The image is a really powerful image when you think about as large as this earth is, it's larger than anything we could imagine. And he simply says that that is what holds my feet. My throne is in heaven and my feet rest upon the earth. And so at our house, we have a coffee table in front of the couch, and I'm notorious for putting my feet on the coffee table. I think that's why a coffee table exists. It doesn't exist to hold coffee. It doesn't exist to hold magazines. At our house, it exists to hold my feet or my wife's feet and little children's play toys. And so that's what it's there for. And so we put our feet on it. And the image is that the earth itself is the ottoman to the chair or the coffee table in front of the couch. That it's where God's feet rest. And just think about the size of God that is being described in that verse. And it is unbelievable to us in all of the scientific discoveries that have taken place over the years from the time this prophecy was uttered by Isaiah. It's still an amazing reality to us. So think about it in the context of the original audience, right? As large as the world seemed to them, and we can get into a jet and fly around the world, they could not do that. Going, a couple miles down the street was a major endeavor. And so for us to think about it in the context of in which it was written, it was a massive, massive statement about the glory and the majesty of God. It is still an unbelievably glorious statement about God's glory and majesty. And as a result of that, he is the one who sits upon his throne. He is the one who created the universe. I made all things. They came into being by my own declaration. The Lord spoke them into existence. I made everyone. And I will look favorably as the king of creation upon those who are, and he describes them three ways, humble, submissive or contrite in spirit, and trembles at his word. Those who humbly rely upon him, submit to him in their spirit, and tremble at his word, who respect his word and listen to what he has to say. But then he goes on to say, those who do not slaughter oxes and persons and lambs and dogs' necks and grain offerings and pig's blood and incense and praises idols. He gives a contrast of those who are righteous and who are trembling at his word versus those who aren't and doing whatever they want to do and however they want to do it with the wickedness of their heart. And he says, all these people have chosen their own choice in life. You and I have responsibilities, and we are responsible for our actions. We're responsible for the choices we make when it comes to worship, when it comes to the way we live our lives, when it comes to the actions we partake in and the things that we do. We're responsible for that. And we will be held accountable for our sinfulness. We'll be held accountable when we choose to do things outside of the will of God. And as a result of that, there will be punishment. And he says, that's my sovereign choice. I make that choice. I choose their punishment, and I will bring upon them what they dread. The punishment that will be for those who do not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in him in faith. We all want to get to heaven, but the reality is we're all not going to get there unless we submit to Christ, walk with him in faith, and repent of our sins. If we choose to do it our own way, we can have all the dreams and all the thoughts that we want to have, but if we walk away from the Lord and we walk away from his people, we walk away from his righteousness, then we're going to find ourselves in an eternity outside of his presence, and an eternity full, as Jesus says, of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where we will receive what we dread, and it will be a terror to our souls. But he says, you've chosen that path. The choice is yours. Will you follow Jesus? Will you come to me? Will you rest in me? Will you live a life of submission, of humility? And will you live a life that trembles at the word of God? That's the challenge of this verse, and it's really the challenge of Isaiah, the challenge of the Bible. Will you be faithful to the God of creation? It is his prerogative to establish his desire. It is his prerogative to hold us accountable to it. And it's certainly for, within the context of his character, to ensure that we, those of us who walk with him in faith are rewarded, and those who do not do so will be punished, because God has to be a God of justice, because that's who he is. And so as we turn our attention to the end of Isaiah, just a helpful reminder, God is sitting on his throne. He calls us to faith and repentance. We all are responsible for the choices we make. If we choose to follow him, then we'll receive the great reward of eternity and persevere through our lives. If we choose not to, then we'll receive the punishment that is due to us. You guys have a wonderful day. If you think about that, think about how God has poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ the punishment for your sins, and he has welcomed you into his presence, provided you trust him and walk with him. You guys have a great day. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. You can.